Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Live Dharma Sunday. If you have called in to listen to this morning's broadcast, please note that all lines have been placed on mute to avoid background interference. If you are joining us from either the Bright Dawn Ning site or the Blog Talk Radio site, please note that it is not necessary to call in. If you are experiencing loss of audio or the Blog Talk Radio player is not working properly, please refresh your page and hit the play button once more. It may take a few moments for your browser to complete the buffering process. Once again, welcome to Live Dharma Sunday and enjoy the broadcast.
Thank you. Father's Day, and I recorded today's Dharma Glimpse because while you're listening to this online, I'm giving the sermon at a Unitarian church in a small town about an hour and a half from my home. The last time I spoke at that particular church was on Mother's Day. My mom had gone with me to hear me speak. That morning, the service leader told me that the speaker they had scheduled for today had a health problem and had to back out. They hoped I could step in and cover for him. And I said I could. After the service, my mom and I had a Mother's Day lunch together. We sat in the restaurant waiting for our food and chatting. And she said, "So, you're going to do the Father's Day sermon?" I said I was. And she said, "You're going to have a harder time doing that one, aren't you?" I thought about that for a minute. My father was an alcoholic and an abuser. Once I was an adult, I had very little contact with him. He passed away just about Father's Day in 1997, and thoughts of him still don't exactly fill me with warmth. My mom said, "Well, you know, there are a lot of really good fathers out there. I guess you could talk about one of those." I suppose a kind of generic hooray father's talk is what people like me are expected to do on days like this. But to me, that just wouldn't seem authentic. When the Buddha gave his first sermon, he explained the Four Noble Truths. The first of those truths is that afflictions and difficulties are facts of life. We don't get to decide where such afflictions and difficulties arise. And sometimes these facts of life are closely associated with the people who are most important to us. The Buddha must have been aware of this. His relationship with his own father seems to have been a difficult one. When Gotama was growing up, King Suddhodana took great pains to keep him in material comfort, but it was kind of a manipulation. He was trying to control his son's career path by steering him away from religion. Obviously, it didn't work. There's a sutra where the Buddha talks about his father's tearful objections to his decision to go forth into the religious life. Another story says that after his enlightenment, the king heard that the Buddha was teaching nearby, and he sent messenger after messenger to ask his son to come home for a visit. But one by one, the messengers arrived, and they listened to the Dharma, and they stayed to hear more. When the Buddha finally sent word that he would come home for a visit, his father planned a big celebration, expecting his son to arrive in high style. After all, he was a highly esteemed Buddha. The king was humiliated and angry to see his heir arrive instead as a common beggar going from house to house with his alms bowl. The Buddha was himself a father, albeit perhaps a reluctant one. When his son was born, Gotama named him Rahula, meaning fetter, because he felt the birth of his son tied him more firmly to a life of afflictions and difficulties. That must have been a strange fact for a child to grow up with. But Rahula ordained at age 7, and the Buddha seems to have taken a lot of time with him explaining the choice he made to leave him and his mother behind and seek liberation, because Rahula eventually became a fully enlightened person. One of my favorite sutras comes from an instruction the Buddha gave Rahula at a place called Mango Stone. Apparently, Rahula had been in trouble because the Buddha starts off by talking about how shameful it is to tell a lie. But then he uses that occasion as an opportunity to teach him something important. I mentioned the first noble truth before, that difficulties and afflictions are a fact of life. Cravings and emotions arise in response to such difficulties, but we can skillfully direct those cravings and emotions toward compassion and wisdom. And we can do that by following the Eightfold Path, by living an enlightened life. The Eightfold Path requires one to make a habit of mindfulness, of being aware of what's going on in the mind, and remembering to cherish wisdom and compassion. The Buddha explained mindfulness to Rahula in a very practical way. He asked him, "What is a mirror for?" And Rahula answered that a mirror was for reflection. The Buddha then explained how he could use his mind to reflect on his actions, much like he might hold up a mirror to examine his face. "Whenever you want to do a mental action, a verbal action, or a bodily action," he said, "you should reflect on it. This action, would it lead to self-affliction, to the affliction of others? And if on such reflection you know this act would lead to harm, don't do it. But if you know it would have good results, by all means go forward." The Buddha explained to Rahula that all the enlightened ones of the past, present, and future had repeatedly reflected on their actions in this way. As historic paternal lectures go, this one is probably among the best. But how would we apply this idea of reflection to our relationships with troublesome people? We can reflect on our mental, verbal, and physical actions, the thoughts and attitudes that arise when we're remembering this person, the things we say when we're with them, and the things we do when we're acting from patterns of behavior that formed through that relationship. These thoughts, words, and deeds, if we build on them, nurture them, and exercise them, do they lead to self-affliction or to the affliction of others? If so, we can direct them in wiser, more compassionate directions. As we go through our lives, we encounter many difficulties. If we keep the Dharma in our hearts, if we treat life's troubles as opportunities for reflection, then the difficult relationships from our past, present, and future will not be obstacles of growth. Rather, these relationships may ultimately become our best teachers. Thank you all for listening, and happy Father's Day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.